You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California's public universities are facing major financial challenges, and Sacramento State is no exception. The university is grappling with a $37 million budget deficit that has already led to class reductions and employee layoffs, with students currently voting on a new fee that could help lessen the impact of those cuts. The stakes are high for both students and educators. Joining us now to discuss the impact of these cuts are Sacramento State Communication Studies Professor Andrea Terry, and English lecturer Carolyn Prickle. And just a note, California's broadcast licenses are owned by Sacramento State. The university also oversees our finances and approves our expenses. However, it does not oversee our newsroom or programming. That is independent. Welcome to Insight, you two.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Well, I'd love to start with how long both of you have been with Sac State. Andrea?
Yeah, I actually did my master's degree at Sacramento State in the Communication Studies Department between 2006 and 2008, and I came back here as an assistant professor in 2020. So I'm in my fifth year.
Fifth year. And you're also in leadership positions as well with the Senate and Faculty Policies Committee, as well as the California Faculty Association?
That's correct.
Great. And how about you, Carolyn?
Well, I also completed my master's at Sacramento State in 2006 and came back teaching in 2013. So I've been here about 12 years as a lecturer. And I also serve as the lecturer representative on Faculty Senate.
Okay. And what does the Faculty Senate do?
A number of things. We are the legislative body of the faculty on campus. So the Faculty Senate approves different kinds of changes to curriculum, to any kind of policies that would affect faculty. So on the Faculty Policies Committee, we look at all kinds of things. We've looked at different kinds of AI policies. We've looked at policies for faculty wanting to move departments potentially. We looked at policies on how hiring happens. And so there are a lot of different things that we do in that space just have to do with the governance of the university on a day-to-day basis.
Given both of your long tenures with the university, also as Sac State alums, both of you received your master's at Sac State, how significant is a $37 million budget deficit?
I would say it's very significant. In my department in particular, we're losing many, many courses, probably half of the GE courses that we've taught previously.
In the Communication Studies Department, it's also been really difficult. There are a number of people who spend the most time with our students face-to-face, teaching a lot of our general education courses that don't know if they're going to have work in the fall. And these are people who have been at the university for decades. So to know that this is what we're looking at, losing our colleagues and our colleagues losing their livelihoods, is really devastating.
There's been some talk about how the current budget cuts at Sacramento State, and Sacramento State is part of the CSU system, they're overall facing a budget deficit. So they were comparing it to those during the 2008 financial crisis, which was a huge hit to the CSU system. The CSU chancellor's office sent us a statement saying that they lost a third of their state support, you know, during that time from 2008 through 2012. The cuts now across the CSU system amount to about 8% of a cut, and that is the equivalent, according to the chancellor's office, of employing nearly 2,400 faculty, 3,300 staff, or the entire operating budget of a mid-sized CSU like Fresno State, or nearly 20,000 course offerings. So it feels significant. From your perspectives, how do these cuts differ from a financial crisis like what happened a decade ago? Or do they? Or are there a lot of similarities?
I think that one of the fundamental differences is that after the 2008 recession, a lot of the takebacks that occurred didn't get replaced. And so you can't look at the current cuts without understanding that context. So if we could say that in 2008, we were cut back to the bone, I would say at this point, we're being cracked open to the marrow.
You know, and even during a Board of Trustees meeting back in January, the Finance Committee Chair, Julia Lopez, said, you know, there's no easy reductions left. And that quote, we've gotten to a point where we're cutting into the muscle and the bone of the CSU. So even CSU leadership would agree with your comparison as well. Your positions at Sacramento State are different. You're a tenure professor, Andrea. Carolyn, you are a lecturer. Explain the difference with your position at Sac State.
Yeah, I think the lecturer position is always non-permanent. You might hear it called as temporary contract, adjunct. A common term is freeway flyer for people who cobble together a full-time job by serving in positions at Sac State and some of the community colleges. And so the lecturer is always very tenuous. Will we have work in the fall? I feel like I myself am in a very privileged position because I am a full-time lecturer with a 3-year contract. And so I will be the last group cut when cuts are made. But I have colleagues who have worked here for 20 years as part-time lecturers who may not have work in the fall.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how are your peers dealing with this uncertainty, given that it's difficult to plan for the future as a lecturer?
It is. And I think in some ways, things have been made more difficult by a lack of transparency. People could plan better if they knew exactly the extent of things. In fact, we found out about cuts to some of our core courses by looking at the schedule rather than having somebody come to us and say, hey, this is what mm-hmm. we're thinking of cutting. And so that's been even more difficult to face it that way.
One of those most talked about courses amid these budget cuts is English 20. So it's composition, college composition too. So in fall of last year, 2024, it had 60 class sections available. It served over 1,700 students. In fall of 2025, it's zero. Now, other classes look to be absorbing those students. Even the chancellor's office said that some of the strategies they're implementing amid these budget challenges include increasing class sizes. But what kind of ripple effects can that have for not only students, but instructors like yourself?
I think the biggest ripple effect with English 20 is that it is a graduation requirement. And there was no alternative pathway for students thought through. And so this may delay students' graduation until a resolution is found for that class. And so I think that is probably one of the biggest ripple effects with that.
Yeah, and I can speak to some of the additional ripple effects. As someone who teaches upper division writing intensive classes, you have to take English 20 in order to be adequately prepared. However, we're currently in a situation where one of the quote-unquote solutions that has been offered is functionally a 2-year temporary waiver of English 20.
So not taking it.
Right. And so on top of that, the sizes of the writing intensive classes have been increased. So next fall, when I am teaching my upper division writing intensive courses, I'm looking at not only having a higher workload with a larger number of students, but having students who are far less prepared. And part of what the work that we've done in order to fulfill the graduation initiative that we had for years was to do more one-on-one time with students, to give them more resources, to give them more time. And that's not going to be possible with the number of students. And so my fear is that we're going to see students failing out of these classes and not progressing to their degrees.
Yeah. And the chancellor's office did acknowledge when we reached out to them that this is not an ideal situation. It had said in a statement that the reality is that the Cal State system simply cannot absorb a nearly $400 million cut system-wide. to its budget on top of existing financial challenges without having real-world consequences. And it did say that the cuts would negatively impact pathways that put people on a trajectory to achieve upward mobility. The Cal State system is usually and is known for being, you know, for many people, their first college experience in their family. First-generation college students often are Cal State students. So the system is acknowledging that, but do you see it differently, Andrea?
What I am seeing is that, yes, difficult decisions are being made, but the people that are always impacted by those difficult decisions first are the people that were supposed to be there to serve and protect. And so when the chancellor's office, who has about a $225 million budget, for an office that doesn't directly serve students, says that they're making tough decisions, I find that really difficult to swallow because they're not the ones that are in the classes with students. They're not the ones who have a student crying in their office that they think that they're going to have to go elsewhere to make progress on their degree. They're not the ones who have to look students in the eye. And in fact, our current chancellor, I have been in a physical space with her a couple of times, and she does not interact with faculty. She does not interact with students. And so I just think there's a real disconnect. So when the chancellor's office talks about difficult decisions, it feels like they're doing it from a relative place of privilege where they are not the ones that are going to have to deal with the consequences of those decisions.
I also wanted to add that I think the students that are going to be most impacted are the students from underrepresented groups and first-generation college students, because we can't adequately prepare them with only limited courses to get to the level that they need to be in their upper division work.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sacramento State professors Andrea Terry and Carolyn Pickrell about the impact of the university's $37 million budget deficit and what it means for students and faculty. So bringing it back to Sac State specifically, I mean, this week, students will be voting on an additional fee, and it is up to students. We did have President Luke Wood on the show last month, and we briefly talked about it, and he had said that the university can't cut its way to success and brought up this proposed student success fee. So students are voting on that $360 per semester fee today and tomorrow. Let's take a listen to part of what he told me last month.
It's really giving the students the opportunity to choose. There can either be less resources and less opportunity, or students can choose to pay more. And really what the deans want to do is put that choice in the student's hand and let the students make an informed decision. I can tell you that just objectively looking at this, we're the only large CSU that does not have a student success fee. I'm hoping that the students will see the picture that's presented by the deans and want to support it. But ultimately, it's putting the power in their hands to make the decision. And if they vote it down, it doesn't happen.
And Sac State declined to answer specific questions that we had about the budget cuts and specifically how money raised via the student success fee would be used if it passes. However, they did direct us to a student success fee webpage that they have on their university website. What is your view of the student success fee? Do you think students should approve this? Carolyn?
That's a really difficult question for me to answer. I think from a standpoint of being a contingent faculty, the university is saying that they will use this to add more classes, so it might be good for me, my colleagues, and the students. But at the same time, students are already paying more than they can handle, working multiple jobs. And so asking them to take on this burden for mismanagement of the budget, I guess, I don't know if it's mismanagement or just not enough insight into the future, seems like a lot to ask them to do. And so I don't really have a good answer for what students should do.
How about you, Andrea?
I think we've been placed in an impossible position. As an educator, I want to make sure that my students are able to get the courses they need to move on towards finishing their degree. As a human and as somebody who grew up low income, was a first generation college student, I know how devastating every increase is. I have students who are taking 6 classes a semester and working 2 jobs. And I struggle to think about that. But then I also am really struggling when I'm thinking about the fact that my colleagues are looking at a situation where they could lose their health care. They could default on their mortgages if these classes aren't offered. And so no matter what way you slice it, it's a terrible situation to be in. I cannot reconcile myself one way or the other on it, because no matter what decision happens, there are humans who are going to suffer. And so I would love to see a world where the presidents of all of the CSUs could unite together and demand that the chancellor's office backfill some of these funds. I would love for us not to be in this situation, but at the moment, this is where we are. And indeed, the choice is being placed in the students' hands. I don't think it's a good place to be in, no matter who you are.
How has this affected the mood and the energy and the relationships among educators, among students, and even administrators on campus?
I feel like there have been a lot of ramifications, maybe for the way things have occurred. Students are upset. Faculty, I think, are also upset. And I think maybe when it comes down to it, it's probably a lack of transparency. I wish that we had been communicated clearly from the beginning of the year that these things might be happening. I think at Sac State, things were going well, enrollment was up. And so it seems very sudden to us, as opposed to maybe some of the indicators at like Sonoma State or San Francisco State, where they had been expecting this. I think we didn't have enough notice, I think, being that things were going well. And so I think it has really changed the mood for a lot of people.
Andrea?
Yeah, it's real emotional whiplash that we're experiencing right now. We're at the end of the semester. We're celebrating the accomplishments of our students. But the next moment, we're consoling a student who can't get their classes or helping a colleague work on an application for a job elsewhere because they don't know where they're going to be. So I think that especially among faculty and staff, there's really a feeling of being pulled back and forth in a lot of different directions emotionally, psychologically. And I think that for some of the students who are graduating, it creates a really difficult situation for them because they want to celebrate their accomplishments, but they know that things are going to be so difficult for those who are going to still be here. One of the students in my department organized a giant walkout over the course cuts, and there were over 400 students there. And so I think that just goes to show that even the students who are graduating, which the student walkout organizer is a senior and is graduating, even those folks who are graduating recognize the gravity of the situation for the students who are still going to be here. And as faculty, we're stuck in the spot of juggling all these competing emotions.
Mm. Well, Professors Terry and Pickerel, thank you for taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And that is Sacramento State Communication Studies Professor Andrea Terry and English lecturer Carolyn Pickerel. We've been talking about the impact of the university's $37 million budget deficit and what it means for students and faculty. And just a note, Cap Radio's broadcast licenses are owned by Sacramento State. The university also oversees our finances and approves our expenses. However, it does not oversee our newsroom or programming. That is independent. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.